Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello and welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr along with Steve Jones.
I like it when my name goes first. It doesn't happen very often.
It only happened because I'm the one opening the show today. That's why. Steve will be with us from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few moments. If you haven't had a chance yet, I posted this morning on the Steve Jones Show Facebook page. The Norwegian curling team has their, I guess you could call them their uniforms. It's almost like a sport coat and pants that match, and it's a zigzag design of their national colors, which are red, white, and blue. And that is what the curling team will be wearing. You have to see it to really get the whole picture, pardon the pun. But that is the uniform. Some of the comments had to do with... if you stare at it too long, you might get a headache. And maybe that's the plan. Maybe they want to give their opponents a headache. And then Ryan Brandt nicely decided to put me in the photo. So now I'm a part of the Norwegian Olympic curling team. See, I told you, one way or another, I was going to figure out a way to get to the Olympics. With the terroristic threats or not, I'd still go to the Olympics. Well, as we look ahead to what's going on today on the Steve Jones Show, we'll talk a little bit of the money side of sports and the Super Bowl as well. And there is a ton of money involved in the Super Bowl, not to mention the tickets. By the way, tickets in the nosebleed seats, the last time I checked, about $2,000 a seat. Now, I'm a huge football fan. And even if my team was there, I don't ever imagine me spending $2,000 to see my team. But we'll talk about that and some of the money that goes around.
Excuse me, that's because you come with the category of cheap.
No argument. That would be a very good description.
I mean, you used my gift certificate to buy my gift for Christmas.
Oh, come on now. That's over a year ago. You're going to have to get over it now.
I'm sorry. Perfect example of where you come from.
You're just going to have to get over it.
Get over it? How could anybody get over that? It was a very scarring moment.
Yeah. But $2,000 to sit in the nosebleed. You know, I want to see a Super Bowl, but I don't even want to see one that bad. I did have a buddy, though, when the Steelers played in Detroit for the Super Bowl. He paid a grand.
I won't pay to go see a game. Like that. I mean, if I go, I mean, I've been to the World Series, but I freely admit, I got free tickets. That's how I went. I got freebs. Sorry. Everything else, let's see. What's your old saying when it comes to me? When did you stop being a fan?
When did you stop being a fan?
I'm a fan. I love sport. You can tell by the show. I love every sport. We talk about every sport because I love every sport. Just to drill you out, some I love more than others. Quite frankly, like anybody. But I'm not going to pay those to go see game.
What would you pay to see the Super Bowl? I mean, if the average ticket price in the NFL, and I don't know, I'd have to look this up. Let's say the average ticket price in the NFL is $75. What would you pay to see the Super Bowl?
Face value.
But that's what I'm saying. What would face value be, and what would you consider acceptable for face value?
That I'd pay?
Yeah.
I don't know, $150, $200.
Okay. Well, there's no wrong answer. I mean, I'm just
wondering. I'm not going to pay more. I'm not going to pay more than that, but I can sit in the warmth of my own living room and watch the thing.
See, and that's where the problem runs in for, I think, the
it's
NFL.
Not, it's, yeah, but what's the problem? I don't understand what the problem is. I don't understand what that problem is. All you have to do is sell the seats in the stadium. You are making so much money from television. You don't have to overprice the seat. This is what bothers me about attendance and sports. You don't have to overprice the seat because television and radio have come through with huge money. Okay? Millions, tens of millions of dollars in rights fees. You should not have to overprice the stadium.
Well, and think about how much money
you're already getting the cash. I can understand pricing out a luxury suite. That I understand. Sure. Pricing out a luxury suite because it's a different deal. Being in the luxury suite, comfort level, food, beverages, ability to kick back, maybe have another game on the TV in the background if you want to go and check Alabama, Auburn, whatever. But you do not have to price out the stadium and keep the average fan out. Those are the people you should want there. You're already getting your cash.
And if you and
make
the price...
That's the part of the business of sports that I really struggle with. Okay, the average fan should be able to go to almost any game they want to, right? Because guess what? Television, to me, is already taking care of the freight.
And if you make the price a reasonable price, I'm going to spend money at the concession stand. I'm going to spend money in your souvenir stand. If the price isn't a reasonable price, I spent money on the ticket that I would spend elsewhere. And I may spend less because I've just bought the ticket and I'm not going to be able to buy anything else.
Well, and I understand that part. I get that part. But the part that bothers me above all is, and I've talked about this before, okay? At Wimbledon, they had to play a middle Sunday once. All right? Which they never do. It's a tradition at Wimbledon. The middle Sunday is always an off day. But they had so much rain, so many backups, so forth. And this is before they had the roof at center court. So what they did was they said, look, they just opened it up. People didn't have tickets for Sunday. They opened it up. The players loved it. Why? Because suddenly people who all their lives had ached to sit at center court at Wimbledon but never could before could.
It was people that were there because it was a sporting event and they're a fan of it, not because it's an event.
When the Mariners, when the King Dome, this is obviously a long time ago, the King Dome, part of the roof fell in. You know, now it didn't fall, it was the panels on the roof that fell. Well, they said the King Dome wasn't safe, so they sent the Mariners on the road for the rest of the season. So how do you handle that when suddenly you've got a three-game series set for Boston at Seattle, and now that game's at Fenway Park? You know what the Red Sox did? They took out three games, $20 apiece for everybody, okay? First come, first serve, and they donated the money to charity. The players loved it. Why? Because guess what? Sue and Bob, who love the Red Sox, who maybe can get a couple bleacher tickets once in a while, suddenly are sitting in the boxes for $40 total. Suddenly, the players loved it because the atmosphere, they said, in the park was different. I don't understand in today's era. Now, I know we're paying a lot in salaries, okay? And the Tanaka signing today by the Yankees, $5 million.
Yeah, I was going to say $155 million does not help the case.
Yankee Stadium doesn't sell anymore. It just doesn't. And they say the atmosphere in Yankee Stadium is nothing like it was in the 70s and 80s. even into the early 2000s, because they have priced themselves out. Why is there a need to price the stadium out? I don't understand what the need is. When I sit there and I look around, okay, and I see how much a rights fee is, and it's not just the rights fee for network television. Okay? It's the rights fee in baseball, network television, local television, radio. Okay? College, network television, and there's many different outlets, by the way. Take Penn State, Big Ten, CBS, because CBS does some of the NCAA, does some of the Big Ten package during the season basketball wise. ESPN, Fox, they have the Big Ten championship game. $25.7 million per school. New TV contracts coming up could net between $40 to $45 million per school for the Big Ten when the new TV deal comes up. That doesn't include the seven-figure per year number that they get from Learfield. That's just an example. In the pros, the Yankees have a huge radio contract, huge contract with Yes, which they own part of. The Red Sox own part of Nesson. You're already getting money from those sources. There's no need to price out the stadium. And the NFL is the ultimate money tree. I mean, they're now farming out Thursday Night Football, which will also be carried on NFL Network, to get even more money. Why did the Kansas City Chiefs have to do anything except look at people and go, you know what? Every ticket in the stadium is $40. Come on out and join us. I mean, really? I don't see the common sense. What, because you feel the need, you've got to pay Jamal Charles some extra money? Look at Jamal Charles and tell me, look, this is what we got. We got plenty of money, so do you. We're good. I mean, that's how I look at it. I don't think there's a need to price out the park, the stadium, or the arena. Now, the NHL is a little different. Their television contract is not as steep with NBC and also in Canada. Okay, Hockey Night in Canada. So they're not going to reap as much money as the NFL does. The NBA contract's pretty good. TNT, ESPN, ABC. Not bad. Baseball has a very, very good contract with Fox and TBS, but it's the local money that makes the difference. But the NFL, I mean, you talk about the Super Bowl, Kevin, 82,000 seats, how much would you pay? Why do I want to pay $1,800 for a ticket? Why is the ticket $1,800? Doesn't have to be.
I'm with you.
It doesn't have to be. They can take $100 a piece, everybody in the stadium, we're done. You just want bodies there. For the TV show, because that's what sports is today. It's a television show. And I've talked about this over and over again on this show. Penn State football, why are the games at noon, 3:30, 4, 4:30, 6, and 8 o'clock? It's a television time slot. Okay? So, understand that. Get people into the stadium and make it affordable.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. As we roll through this Wednesday together, that picture of you on the Norwegian team is ridiculous.
I have to admit, it was pretty funny. Although I do like the fact that I'm very svelte in that picture.
Must be photoshopped.
Yeah, boy. My head does look a little fuller than the rest of my body.
Oh, boy.
If you haven't seen the Norwegian Olympic curling team and the newest member, go on to the Facebook, Steve Jones Show page on Facebook, and you'll be able to see it. Thank you to Ryan Brandt for that alteration.
Time now, by the way, for the segment every month that you just start twisting and turning it. It bothers you.
Yeah, it changes the way I look at sports, and I hate that.
By the way, next half hour, Sean Morris of BTN to talk about college basketball. But Tony Knopp is the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, and Kevin, this is the segment that just doesn't feel good, does it?
I'm prepared. I'm ready.
Where we talk about that dreaded four-letter word, cash. Tony, you're sitting there in Los Angeles. You're coming east for the Super Bowl. It is gorgeous here, Tony.
Yeah, they're lucky the Super Bowl is next week, not this week, right? Yeah. The pictures I'm seeing don't look like a pleasant place to play football.
No, it is not right now. In fact, they just started the Iditarod right outside our window here. So it was really emotional. All right. Now, it's one thing for the media to complain about an outdoor Super Bowl. That doesn't, because they want to be in sunshine. I don't blame them. It's a soft business. What about reaction to this once in 48 time outdoor Northern Super Bowl? What kind of reaction have you heard from the corporate partners?
It's gone both ways. Some people just see it as it's Super Bowl, we'll go wherever it is. I mean, they could hold this in Anchorage, Alaska, and we'd probably be a part of it just because of the exposure.
Yeah.
But we have seen companies that are shying away from it this year. A couple of large ones in particular, Fortune 50s, that aren't going to be involved this year and are already planning on doubling down next year in Glendale outside of Phoenix. So there is some of that feedback, and I'll be really curious to see what the feedback is after the event. I think there's a lot of people tiptoeing around it. I mean, they're telling me, obviously, and telling our staff here that they're not thrilled about it. I think you're going to get the real feedback after the game, right? Hey, that was great. It was a one-time experience. I probably wouldn't do it again in the cold weather.
Well, is it part of it not because it's an outdoor Super Bowl at 6:30 in the evening on a Sunday, but the events surrounding it, including things like fan experience and things like that?
Exactly. They're going to try to supplement a lot of those things with, what New York has to offer. Obviously, New York's used to this weather. They have a lot of things that you can do indoors, very well built, very well centralized. The issue is, for a lot of people, the Super Bowl is a four-day gathering. I mean, if you're going to say, we're going to be an outdoor Super Bowl now, we're going to be in New York in February, then you would hope that the hotel stays would coincide with that. And okay, but you only need to stay two nights now. But that didn't change. The hotel blocks are still for four nights. So the people who are used to going and playing golf, or hanging out on the beaches of Clearwater, or heading down to Bourbon Street, or any of those places that are standard Super Bowl hosts, they're trying to find something different to do. And I'll be curious to see how well that goes across. Because most people that are getting invited by companies, they view this as a respite from the cold weather. They generally get to get away in the first week of February to somewhere warm and have a couple of days to talk business and goof around.
Right, exactly. You have two rabid fan bases with this. We talked about last month the 17.5% that each one will get. It's also a fact of life that neither one has been there in a long time. Is that going to play into them buying tickets? Have you had results that Seattle and Denver fans are buying tickets?
Yes. So they are clamoring in both cities. And I think it will be an interesting travel experience, at least for those in Seattle who are used to a much more robust and loud stadium environment, to go to MetLife and really see what that's going to be like with the corporate crowd. Where Seattle kind of got the short end of the stick here, they've been to the Super Bowl twice, and they got Detroit and New York. So they haven't gotten to go to Miami or, Tampa or New Orleans or San Diego or some of the ones that have become normal. I do think they'll travel. I do think that this is probably the best event there was when it comes to the ticket broker side and the people that are out there selling packages for the Super Bowl, the NFL guys, they wanted these teams. They have rabid fan bases. They haven't been there in a while. They're willing to open up their purse strings and head to New York.
Although I feel badly for Seattle. They've gone twice now. They get Detroit and an outdoor one in New York. I mean, come on. You've got to be sitting there saying, tell me, can we win a year when we go to Miami? I mean, come on.
I know. It's Peyton. Last time Peyton was in the Super Bowl, he played in Miami.
Yeah.
So,
and it rained.
A little bit different. It poured. I mean, that Super Bowl was rain like I haven't experienced in quite a while. But it was still 80 degrees, right? There's a big difference between 80 degrees and rain and 2 degrees and sleet.
No question about it. So this plays out in this way. Now, here's the next part. We talk often about television ratings. And I'll give you a perfect example. Jack Ham and I were talking about this, about a month ago. And I said, can you believe the Pro Bowl gets a 12.7 rating? It got a 12.7 rating last year.
Bigger than the World Series, right?
And it knocked him back. He says, you have to be kidding me. Do television ratings play a role in what corporate partners want to do within arenas and stadiums?
Yes, 100%. And it comes down to placement. You know, it comes down to almost every event there is, right? We were at the Humana Challenge out here, the most recent PGA tournament, and we're with Humana having these discussions, and their focus is on the TV screens. Even though we're at the event, they're looking at the TV screens and saying, you see that sign placement? And they're talking about it while they're there. So it's incredibly important to them because, as we've discussed, it comes down to aligning yourself with that ambiance, right? I am the premium brand. I want to be noticed there. So it has a lot to do with what they do within the arena and within the stadium. And for that reason, Alaska, and they will sell it out, and they will sell a ton of sponsorships because there will be eyeballs on the game pretty much no matter what. I mean, we've heard a lot of, you know, well, I don't know, you couldn't pay me enough money to go to the Super Bowl now that it's in, you know, cold weather New York. I mean, they sold it out with a $2,600 face value being, you know, the majority of the lower bowl. That's obviously not a problem for most people that are attending.
Right. All right. So now with this coming up, again, after this it goes Glendale, then it goes to Santa Clara, the brand-new stadium there. And we've talked about how that stadium is absolutely built for social media.
Yep.
I was at MetLife to do the opening game with Syracuse back at the last weekend of August. Fabulous stadium. I mean, I'm talking about every seat is really, you feel like you're on top of the field. But in terms of the social media part in conjunction with the weather, how difficult is that going to be for fans to get through?
It's one of those things that we don't pay attention to as much as fans, as we probably should. You know, we work with some of the larger partners out there, the AT&Ts of the world. It is a major problem for most stadiums. They just can't handle the amount of bandwidth that's necessary when an event comes together like that. Because not only do you have the media, you also have everybody on their phones trying to do different things. For example, Fox is going to stream this game mobily. So if you're in the stadium, you can pull it up on your cell phone and watch it if you can get a fast enough connection. And what's funny is we've all tried to keep up with technology. For example, you know, when Staples Center was built, you know, almost 15 years ago now, they built it with fiber through the building. Just made the assumption that fiber will be the way that will deliver bandwidth into the building. And they're still having some issues. They do a good job there, but it, you know, anybody can go and look. They had a real problem with this in Dallas.
Yeah.
At Jerry Land for the Super Bowl, people just couldn't get online. And so, you know, as we discussed, until they can catch up with this, is it really worth, you know, going and fighting the traffic to get out to the Super Bowl and sitting in the cold weather? I mean, for those who haven't been to MetLife Stadium, it is not easy to get to. They think New York City, they probably think it's got public transportation going to it like everything else in New York. This is not Citi Field or Arthur Ashe Stadium. It's not easy to get in and out of.
Been there many times, Tony. Can tell you.
Yeah, you know all about it. I mean, there's times you think about, I might as well just walk from Manhattan, made it here faster, right? It's quite difficult. And so I'll be very interested to see where that plays out. As far as the corporate crowd goes, you know, they're still putting money into it. The market hasn't been what people thought it was going to be. Ticket prices on the secondary market are not where people anticipated. They thought that it would be, you know, $3,000, $4,000 to get into the game. And it's more around, you know, $1,800 right now. Last time Peyton Manning was in this game, that get-in was $3,500.
But last year, though, the Raven fans did not buy their tickets in droves, and some of those ended up going face value.
Exactly. Exactly. And I would not be surprised if this ticket price bottom comes close. It would not surprise me one bit.
What about star power? Because I mean, we could talk about Richard Sherman all we want, the Seahawks all we want, but this game does have Peyton Manning in it. Does that make a difference? And in the corporate world where he has had tremendous spokesperson success, does it make a difference?
It does. It makes a big difference because there's hype around the game and there's an interesting storyline. So as much as the regular fan and listener is going to hate what I'm about to say, most of the corporate fans that go are not real fans, right? They kind of know what's going on in the game. They sort of pay attention. So when you put, you know, Harbaugh versus Harbaugh against each other last year, people aren't talking about it around the water cooler, which means they're not going to brag that they're going. This year you have, you know, Richard Sherman, who's a polarizing character no matter what you think of him, and you have Peyton Manning, who everybody knows. He's hosted Saturday Night Live a number of times. This is a braggable event, and what that means is it starts to cross over and transcend sports. And when that happens, ticket prices go up, right? That's when people start to pay more money. So I don't think this one's going to hurt as bad as last year on star power. I think that the cold weather hurts a little bit, but you're still going to get people, you know, itching to go to the game because they want to tell their friends that they were there for it, for Peyton Manning versus Richard Sherman.
Right. I want to ask you about the Olympics for a moment. Sochi's going to be hosting it. And hey, let's bottom line the biggest problem that Sochi has. Okay, there are two major problems that Sochi has. Number one, it's in Russia. For whatever,
not even a good part of Russia. I mean,
yeah, no question.
It's down where bad people can walk there.
Yeah, but that's the problem. There are too many. How close are they to Chechnya? How close are they to Iran? How close are they to Soviet Georgia, which they invaded? There's a lot of bad people aren't in the mood for them right now. So, has there been blowback from corporate partners because the Olympics are a major investment, especially after Vancouver was off the charts incredible?
Big time. There is not anywhere close to the corporate involvement on the market that we're involved in that we see. Now, the Olympics will say, well, we got a lot of people involved, and we sold all our stuff out. Well, of course they did, because they sold packages putting together this Olympic Games, last Olympic Games, and the next Olympic Games. But as far as those that won off the Olympics as corporations, they're not going to Sochi. They're not going to Sochi. It's not considered a safe place, whether it is or not. And it's just getting hammered right now with all of the corruption and just the way that they have spent their money these games. It's been, if you totaled up the cost of every Winter Olympic Games in history and multiplied it by five, that's what they've paid for this one Games.
And it lasts 16 days. It doesn't last 16 months. It's 16 days. Right.
I mean, they're still selling their tickets. It's not, there's always a level of, you know, are the seats going to be empty? Yeah, for some of the events they are. But for the premium events, they are selling them. But the issue is there's no aftermarket for it.
Right.
Right? There's no corporations looking to pay the extra dollars to go. I mean, we work with the official seller of Olympic tickets for 70 countries. They use our software. So we see it every day. And the issue here is I think we're just going to see a very similar response to what we saw to South Africa in 2010 for the FIFA World Cup.
Wow. So something else. You had told the story last month, just to let you know I'm listening, about they had a Nokia finally going to the Sugar Bowl and going, no, we're not doing this again.
Yep,
That goes back to your point that there are a lot of corporate people. Look, they're corporate people. That doesn't mean they're fans. Mm-hmm. What is it like for you in that aspect when you are dealing with somebody that really is a fan?
You know, it's really difficult because, you know, you pay attention to sports, and I'm a fan, right? I watch it. I read everything about it. I really enjoy the game, and I want to start digging in the way we do, right? And you kind of have to take a step back. People don't really think, oh, yeah, Peyton Manning, he went to Georgia, right? Well, no, he didn't go to Georgia. And
no.
You have to try to be polite around others. Trust me, we hear plenty of that. And the issue there is you really just need to make sure that for them it's about the experience, not really even about the game, right? They don't understand that 4th and 7, 30-yard touchdowns don't happen.
Right.
They don't understand that. What they understand is the crowd's going crazy and something big just happened that maybe my kid's with me or I can go back and tell my coworkers about. Right? That's what they're really looking for when they're doing these kinds of events. And that's why ambiance is so important. If you ask me, and I'm, you know, it's one opinion, I don't think we're going back to the Super Bowl rotation system of,
right,
you know, San Diego, New Orleans, Miami, Tampa, you know, those cities. I think we're going to continue to see these, you know, new stadiums getting them. You know, they're going to go back to some of these new stadiums that didn't get them that are cold weather. I'm not so sure that's the greatest thing, at least for the corporations who are footing the bill on the backside.
And by the way, the NFL does have a rule, by the way, that people don't realize. I know the Rose Bowl is not equipped with everything that you have, but people said, why hasn't it gone to the Rose Bowl in 20-something years? It has to be in a stadium that's in a market that has a team. That actually is one of the rules when they stay. That's why Los Angeles doesn't have one. That's why L.A. is not getting the Super Bowl.
They're not getting one anytime soon either.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, they're all fighting over who's going to have it and where. And for those who aren't familiar, we've got guys here who are trying to put it out in the city of industry, which is nobody's driving the city of industry for anything.
No. Back to the back to the Olympics for a moment. We know that for the last 20 years, corporations have been going for global reach.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a selling point with these things, or is it only a selling point when it comes to the summer games?
No, big-time selling point. In fact, a major issue that we're seeing here in the States, and you can see it when you turn on your television and see some of the mid-range to lower-tier teams that maybe aren't winning right now, a lot of companies feel like they've gotten their market share in the United States, and they're starting to focus in other places.
Right.
I mean, there's examples of those who are still here but are going elsewhere. Stanley Black & Decker is making a big push into China and to Europe. AIG just did a major partnership with the rugby team in the South Pacific, as opposed to being here. You know, Aon's foray into Manchester United has been one of the most popular and successful company branding aspects maybe ever. And a lot of companies are starting to see that. So they're going to go into more Olympics, more World Cup, more international soccer. And it's going to be really interesting to see how the local companies can then maybe fill their place and how these teams and venues respond to that. Because it used to be that, look, I had to align with the Indiana Pacers. I have to align with the Philadelphia 76ers. Not really anymore, right? We're opening up new markets, and they're starting to spread their dollars out to other places. And the Olympics is trying to take advantage of it. Like I said, they have a lot of good contracts in place, but some of those are put together on the backs of the next games too, right? You buy here, we'll give you Rio. You buy here, we'll buy, you know, you bought Vancouver, well, we're going to throw some Sochi in, that sort of thing.
Well, do you have one last question? It's going to deal with soccer. The Premier League, and we probably have not talked about this enough. Probably the next time you come on, we'll talk more about this. What is it about the attraction of the Premier League where it appears that the money spigot is wide open? When I'm seeing, you know, they purchased the rights of this player for, they'll say, £40 million. That's $60 to $65 million.
That's
just to purchase the guy.
That's paying the team that you're getting him.
Yeah, that's not paying him. Okay.
Yeah.
So what has opened the spigot to that? Where you have now even Dunkin' Donuts, which I think has only 7 franchises in England, joining up with John Henry and Company for Liverpool, even though Dunkin' Donuts in Boston is a link. But still, tell me why the spigot's so wide open. What attracts corporations to dump so much money into it?
The Premier League has done a better job than anybody of being global. And even I believe even the NFL. They're global in the sense that they have global carriage rights with most of the providers. Their teams have done global sponsorships. If you go look at Manchester United's sponsor list, it is outrageous how many sponsors they have and in how many countries they have. I mean, they have presences in China and Singapore and everywhere else. And the reality is you have this global game where players are coming from everywhere. You know, they're as much as they're just making more money than they know what to do with in the English Premier League and then in the UEFA Cup, they're also having a problem where there's not enough Brits playing anymore. Right? They're going to try to change the rules so that you have to have a certain amount of locals playing on the teams because these are becoming international all-star teams. Right? They're just signing guys from all over the place and putting them together. So the issue will be, we used to not have to compete with that here. The Philadelphia 76ers didn't used to have to compete with Manchester United. The Pittsburgh Pirates didn't have to compete with Manchester City.
Right.
Now they have to. Right, and it's going to be very interesting to see what they do to change that narrative and really try to catch up with what the English Premier League is doing. Now, that being said, the English Premier League, for those that don't follow it, has had, I believe, 5 or 6 champions since it started in 1994.
Right.
I mean, they do not have parity there.
No. and you just mentioned all the key players. I mean, the key players are Liverpool, Arsenal, Man U, Man City now is pretty good. I mean,
yeah, Tottenham's doing okay. Yeah. You know, and Man City bought their way in. They basically are doing what the Dodgers are doing. Yeah. For anybody who's interested with what's happening in baseball and saying, how does a team throw that much money into it? How does somebody throw that much money into a team and then have success? Go look at Manchester City, because when they got bought, they were a nothing team. Now all of a sudden they are a world superpower and they're printing money. And it's because they're willing to buy the best players and just hemorrhage money for a few years, knowing that they're going to build an international brand. And they did.
Tony, always an absolute pleasure. Safe trip east, okay?
I appreciate it.
Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management. A lot of business we talked there. A lot of business. You poor soul.
You know what? You make it sound like I love it when this guy's on. I really do.
What, that it depresses you?
No, it's a side of sports that you don't hear, and I actually like it.
You have to hear it because you have to understand what the economic realities are. Because, let's take the contract the Yankees signed today, $155 million. Like, where are they getting all that money from? Well, I just told you where they get the money from. And that's the part that fans have to understand. Now, at the same time, it does go back, and I know we have to hit a break here for the top of the hour. But again, I think they have to do a better job now in professional and college sports of pricing tickets reasonably because the media and corporate money is extensive. And that in order to get people into the arena or the stadium, you have to make it palatable for the fan to be there, because in the end, it is their ambiance that creates a better show. Our thanks to Tony Knopp. Next half hour, extensive talk on the Big Ten with Sean Morris of BTN as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.